The internet and electronic medical records, EMR or EHR, have become powerful tools for physicians in organizing medical information, practicing medicine, and following patient care across time and different healthcare settings. For the dermatologist, this has presented a number of new opportunities for diagnosis and management of patients and the development of innovative practice patterns. The use of smartphones and handheld computers is now prevalent, and storage of patient information in the cloud is becoming more common. In this dialogue, Dr. Matthew Fleming and Dr. Rhonda Klein provide us with an overview of smartphone and cloud computing for the dermatologist.
This is Dr. Rhonda Klein from Dialogues in Dermatology, and today we will be speaking with Dr. Matthew Fleming, a voluntary faculty member at the Medical College of Wisconsin, who also works at Fleming DermPath and the Frater Health Services. Welcome, Dr. Fleming.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be discussing smartphone and cloud computing in dermatology and dermatopathology, and hopefully we can discuss all these different options with our audience. So I'd like to start just in differentiating cloud-based versus client-server computing in the era of new electronic medical records.
Right. So I first gave a talk on this subject at last year's AAD, and part of the motivation for that was that I had attended a session on EHRs the year before that, and the presenter actually made a bit of an error describing the relationship between HIPAA and cloud computing. So I thought it's something that people need to know about, especially as cloud computing creates some new opportunities. The main advantage that it has is that it's much more efficient than the traditional client-server systems, so it has allowed new services to be brought to market at much lower cost than was previously possible, and in many cases for nothing, for free. The other advantage of cloud-based computing is that it puts the data up in the cloud where you can reach it from anywhere, whereas with a client-server system, you have a server that's sitting in your office and typically can only be accessed from within the office. And I think that ease of access becomes important as computing becomes more heterogeneous. In the old days, we did it all with personal computers. Now we do a lot of it with tablets and smartphones. Many of these things are connected over the cell phone networks rather than through an Ethernet network. And so that dovetails with the availability of cloud computing services.
How does cost differ between these cloud systems and the client servers?
It kind of depends on exactly what you're talking about. The comparison could be between, let's say, a physical server in your office and a virtual server in the cloud, but I think what's more relevant for dermatologists, for example, would be the cost differential between an EMR that they have to buy and install on a client server system in their office and something that might be available to them over the cloud. And the cost of those things also varies a great deal, but what we've started to see now are actually free EMRs that are offered as a result of the economies of cloud computing. So potentially, it's a huge difference.
Now, is the adoption of one of these cloud-based systems just as much work for a dermatologist as these older client servers, or is there more of an ease in adopting these into your practice?
Well, certainly, it's a lot easier to get it up and running, because with a client server system, you have to make arrangements for the server, you have to buy the hardware, you have to buy the server operating system, you have to have the software installed on the server, and then you set up the clients to communicate with that. Many of the cloud-based systems essentially don't have clients. They communicate through using a web browser. And so starting to use one of those systems might be as simple as just firing up your browser on your computer. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating for these systems. I think they have drawbacks. To my knowledge, they're all general-purpose systems, or at least all the free and very low-cost systems are. They're not designed specifically for dermatologists, and they may have some limitations for dermatologists. But that said, I know people that are using them successfully in dermatology practice.
Do many of them enable you to have diagrams that you can upload or photos that you can upload that enable more dermatology-specific applications?
Some of them can incorporate photographs.
Okay.
I don't know of any that allow you to edit a body surface diagram.
Okay. And what about maintaining HIPAA for our patients with these web-based systems?
HIPAA sets standards for the protection of confidential patient information. It doesn't actually require that you do this in any particular way. So basically, if you're storing things in the cloud, you just have to make sure that only the people that should be accessing that data do have access to it. And that can be done in a number of different ways. You, of course, do have to also protect the data in transit as it's traveling back and forth from the server farm to your computer, so it has to be encrypted in transit. And typically when you migrate an application from client server to the cloud, you'll add some additional layers of encryption to protect the data at rest when it's stored on the hard drives of the server farm. But none of those things are technically very difficult to do.
And how have smartphones changed the evolution of EHRs and in this area of dermatology?
I don't think smartphones really have had much of an impact on EHRs yet. I think tablets have had more of an impact. Many EHR systems now have clients that run on tablets, usually the iPad. I don't think there's been as much interest in using smartphones for EHRs simply because of the limitations of the form factor. You know, it's just really too small to see a lot of data at once, and it's too difficult to input data into the device. Certainly some EHR systems do have smartphone clients. I think that those clients really are intended more, not so much for data entry, but to see data on the patient when the only thing that you have with you is a smartphone. You know, if you're out on the town and you get a call about a patient when you're on, then you can look up the information and respond to the inquiry.
Absolutely. And how about teledermatology and the use of smartphones and tablets in that area of our field?
Well, there, smartphones have been much more important. One of the Academy initiatives has been to offer teleconsultations to people in developing countries where the most readily available method of internet access is through a smartphone. And worldwide, there is more internet access through smartphones now than through PCs. And that's because they're much cheaper, they're more readily available, more people have them. So I think that's where smartphones will have more of an influence on dermatologic practice, actually, rather than as platforms for EHRs. There are private telederm services that have been developed. There are a couple that are offered via smartphone apps that are entirely for profit. The client simply pays with his credit card for access to the expertise of the physician. Typically, the app will allow the patient to submit a few pictures and a brief clinical history, and then they get a response.
Excellent. And then I know teledermoscopy is another new area, and there are new dermatoscopes that are enabling connections to cameras and connections directly to smartphones. How is this changing within our field?
Well, there certainly are devices like that, and I think most of the companies anyway that sell dermatoscopes do have some facility now for allowing you to take pictures through their dermatoscope with a smartphone, usually the iPhone. I think the only company that has something that will work with Android right now is 3Gen. They're all for sale, but I don't know how widely they're used or how they're being used. Certainly, dermoscopy can play a role as part of teledermatology, and I think even in dermatopathology, which is my main area of interest, it's been shown that submitting dermatoscopic photographs to dermatopathologists can allow them to avoid potentially very serious errors. Mostly it's because it allows the dermatopathologist to understand that the lesion might be inhomogeneous, that part of it might be a nevus and part of it might be a melanoma. So if there's evidence in one part of the lesion for melanoma in the dermatoscopic image and the dermatopathologist is just seeing a nevus in the initial sections, then he'll be stimulated to go back and take some additional sections and look for the melanoma.
At our institution, we just adopted an electronic health record in the past year or so, and I found that also to be one of the most useful applications, that the dermatopathologist will actually pull up our notes, pull up the pictures, and use it in their diagnosis. And I think that absolutely has enabled more accurate diagnoses.
Right, and as you're alluding, that this has applications not just with dermatoscopic photographs, but also with clinical photographs. There's also a fair amount of empirical evidence that shows that supplying dermatopathologists with clinical photographs in general allows them to make more specific diagnoses.
Have there been any studies looking at whether teledermoscopy has actually led to earlier diagnosis of melanomas or earlier diagnoses of atypical lesions or any other more serious conditions?
It's been demonstrated that you can make a diagnosis with teledermoscopy, that this is an effective application of teledermatology. I'm not sure that there is evidence for what you suggested. It's interesting, there is a company called CellScope, which is developing consumer-directed devices. And this is an offshoot of a lab at Berkeley, which has developed microscopes, attachments that allow you to take microscopic images with your cell phone. And their first two products are going to be an otoscope that connects to a smartphone and a dermatoscope. And the interesting thing is, what are they planning to do with a dermatoscope? It's not intended for physicians. It's intended for patients. And so the question would be, are the patients now going to expect to send us dermatoscopic pictures that we should interpret for them? Or are we going to ask patients to send us pictures of lesions that we've been monitoring, for example? And the other interesting question is, will some of that be automated? Because, of course, there's been a lot of interest in automation of interpretation of dermatoscopic images by image analysis.
I think that's a great point that you bring up with the electronic health records. It really has served as a way for patients to advocate more for themselves and get in touch with their doctor outside of the office. And it does pose more of a burden on the physician to correspond with the patient outside of the office. How have you dealt with this, and how do you advise physicians to utilize the electronic health record in optimizing patient care?
In my clinical practice, we have a rather obsolete EHR system, so my personal experience is with something that works in a very traditional way and which patients don't access. We are moving to another system soon where we will start to get inquiries from patients. But I know that that is a problem, and I think that on the plus side, these kinds of communication technologies may allow us to maintain more contact with patients, to monitor their health more carefully, maybe to detect things before they become much more difficult to treat or potentially life-threatening. But as you say, there's no question that this imposes a burden on physicians. And also, I think that there are issues with reimbursement. I mean, the politicians certainly are interested in moving us away from fee-for-service as quickly as possible. And I suppose in a capitated model, this may not be a concern. But right now, you know, if you spend an hour on the phone with a patient, you don't get paid anything for it. And it's the same thing if you're answering inquiries via an EHR.
Absolutely. And a lot of physicians are also offering a lot more web-based services, such as scheduling, consultations. Aside from the services we're offering, you know, physician reviews are constantly on the web, and physicians are trying to manage those expectations. How do you advise physicians to manage all these elements of the web?
Well, I wish them luck. I think it's very hard to know how all this stuff is going to play out. It certainly means that what we do is a lot more transparent. And I guess the concern that one has is that only the 1% of patients who don't like you that are going to leave the reviews. And I don't know how you get the people, the other 99% of patients, to say nice things about you. But I don't know. This is kind of unexplored terrain.
Exactly. It's hard for us all to navigate. And then there are a lot of dermatology apps that are constantly coming into the marketplace. Can you discuss some of your favorites and what has been most useful to you as a physician, as well as potentially some apps that are useful for your patients that you've recommended?
I haven't recommended any apps for patients. The one that I find most useful isn't going to come as much of a revelation to anybody. It's just Hippocrates, you know, to look up medications. I think that what you need to steer the patients away from are these apps that evaluate potentially malignant lesions, because there are quite a number of those that purport to do ABCD analysis of pigmented lesions, for example. And I've tried a couple of them, and they certainly don't work. And also, there was just recently an article e-published in the archives in January that did a systematic evaluation of several of them and found that their accuracy was very poor. It seems like something that the FDA should take off the market. My understanding is that the FDA is about to come out with firmer or more elaborated criteria for apps with medical diagnostic purposes, and hopefully these things will be taken off the market at some point. Mm-hmm. There are other apps that allow patients to catalog their moles. They show you a body surface diagram and allow the patient to tap at the location of the lesion and then attach a photograph to that location. And it seems to me something like that might be helpful for patients with dysplastic nevus syndrome, something like that. But I don't have any patients that are currently using those to follow their lesions.
That does sound fascinating, because we often do refer patients for full body photographs or suggest that they take photos at home. So that does sound like it would be a very useful application in our fields.
Right.
Excellent. Are there any new technologies in the horizon that you want to make our audience aware of, or anything that you're developing that might be useful to our field?
I think that one of the main developments that we're going to see going forward is, unfortunately for me, fewer biopsies for diagnosis. I do think we're going to see more non-invasive diagnosis coming forward. there are many technologies that could potentially be used for that purpose. And I think, quite frankly, one of the reasons that we're doing as many biopsies as we are is that in the fee-for-service model, we're getting paid for them. If you look at uptake rates for dermoscopy in this country compared to other countries that have different reimbursement models, it's been much lower here, and I think it's partly because our incentives are to do biopsies. And apparently that is now going to change. Of course, many people have learned to do dermoscopy because it's important for being a good dermatologist, but the incentives have pushed in the other direction. So there are quite a few technologies that could potentially be miniaturized to the point where they could be used for non-invasive diagnosis as a smartphone attachment. I'm not a physicist, but I don't see any reason why things like confocal microscopy and optical coherence tomography couldn't use much smaller equipment than they do now. Just a couple of weeks before coming to this meeting, I saw an article in Business Week about terahertz imaging, which is now the point of the article was that's now been miniaturized to the point of a chip that would cost $2 and can be incorporated into a smartphone. And it's already known that that can be used for skin cancer diagnosis, for example. And then the other thing going forward is I do think that there will be much more telehealth. And a lot of that, on the patient's end anyway, will be done with a smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And do you think that will be incorporated into a primary care model, or do you think that individual dermatologists will just encompass that into their regular practice?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. One of the things I talk about in my focus session is there was an article recently published about experience with teledermatology in the Netherlands. And apparently there, the primary care physicians tend to partner with a dermatologist. So they each have their dermatologist that they refer to. And they have requested teleconsultations from dermatologists, and supposedly this allowed them to avoid about 3/4 of the referrals to dermatologists that they would otherwise have to make. If you look at these new healthcare delivery models that are coming down the pipeline, it seems at least conceivable that we would end up with something like that here. But also, as the demand for these pigmented lesion apps shows, I think patients all want to get information for themselves, even without going through their primary care doctor. And as I mentioned, there are some nascent teledermatology services and commercial teledermatology services already in this country that use dermatologists and have the patients contact them directly. So I think that both things will happen, actually. I think we'll be in communication with primary care doctors who will need us to be available to help them with cases, and I think we'll be getting inquiries directly from patients. And then that's on the intake side or the diagnostic side, but it's also been shown that telehealth works for ongoing care, for patient follow-ups in diseases such as acne and psoriasis. And I think that we will be replacing some in-person visits for those purposes with teleconsultations.
Do you have any last words of advice for our listeners?
Hold on to your hats. I really do think that this there is going to be significant change as a result of the availability of these technologies, which potentially can increase efficiency. I think we're going to be incentivized to practice more efficiently. And also, they meet patients' demand. For example, these online scheduling apps that you've mentioned, patients love them. You know, the surveys that have done show that they're very, very popular. People really don't want to call your office and speak to a receptionist to make an appointment. They want to go on the web or use their smartphone to make an appointment to see you. And so we're going to have to meet that demand.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you so much for joining us today in Dialogues. And just to summarize quickly, we talked about the evolving area of electronic health records and a somewhat shift from managed hosting to cloud computing. We've also talked a little bit about teledermatology and teledermoscopy and this evolving area, as well as the changing needs and demands from our patients that are going to cause us to have to be more flexible with the current services that we provide. And of course, there are some exciting apps that are specific to dermatology that I'm sure we'll all be seeing in the marketplace and perhaps brought to our attention by patients in the near future. So we thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to hearing a lot more from you about this subject in the future.
Thank you.
Electronic medical records are becoming more common as it is used to systematically store information on individual patients and allows important data to be easily accessed, tracked over time, and organized so that it can be used for clinical decision making. Many dermatology offices now use EMRs or EHRs, but these have traditionally been on a client server system in which a computer server in an office is used to store and manipulate the patient database. With online storage and remote servers becoming more popular, a new cloud-based computing option collection has also matured. The advantage of this type of computing is that it places data on a cloud, i.e. a remote server, where it can be accessed from any location. This is important as computing is now becoming more heterogeneous and health information can be manipulated on many different electronic platforms. HIPAA compliance is maintained by encrypting information delivered to and from the device and the remote server, and also while residing on the server. There are many advantages and a few disadvantages to having a cloud-based system. It is often much easier to set up a client-server system, which requires server manipulation and arrangement that may include expensive hardware and software costs. Clients will also have to be individually set up to communicate with the server. By contrast, cloud-based systems essentially do not have clients as they communicate through a web browser. Furthermore, cloud-based systems tend to be less costly as no extra hardware is usually needed. On the downside, cloud-based EHRs are often general-purpose systems and not designed specifically for the dermatologist. For instance, only some allow incorporation of photographs and may not have the option of a body map for labeling. New computing platforms have also led to novel electronic devices and vice versa. Some EHRs have been tailored to run on tablet computers or to be viewed on smartphones. Within dermatology, telemedicine is now becoming more commonly used. Teledermatology has been used for consultations with people in developing countries where often the most readily available method of internet access is through a smartphone. Several dermatoscopes now allow for physicians to attach a smartphone to take photographs. It has been shown that submitting dermoscopic photographs to dermatopathologists can help them to avoid potentially serious errors. For example, if there is evidence on dermoscopy of melanoma in one part of a lesion and the dermatopathologist only sees a nevus in the initial sections, he or she will be motivated to take additional sections to look for the melanoma. Additionally, EHRs that allow dermatologists to save clinical or dermoscopic photographs are very useful in further aiding dermatopathologists make more specific diagnoses. Another new area is consumer-directed devices. One company is developing a smartphone otoscope and dermatoscope that is marketed for patients. The belief is that the patient can then send pictures of lesions to their physician, especially those that are being monitored. As technology becomes more sophisticated, there is also the thought that some of the image analyses can be done automatically through software. One of the main developments going forward is that there may be fewer biopsies for diagnosis as it is replaced by non-invasive technologies. Thus, as medical technology and information systems advance, dermatologists may be incentivized to practice more technologically and have more options in the way they set up their practice, see patients, and access and organize health information.